still talking about Joseph. And now, let me see. Just bear with me one moment. Oh, no, here we go. I always have a wee panic when I can't find the notes. Well, we're continuing on looking at Joseph, and let me tell you, the end is nigh. We're getting to the end of the story of Joseph. We're going to have one more week next week, and then after that it'll be our carol service, and come back in the new year, and we'll be looking at somebody different. We're coming to an end, and it's our series on Life's Not Fair, and we've seen in Joseph's life how that, well, not just for Joseph, but for lots of the people involved in this story, maybe especially Joseph and especially his dad Jacob, they could cry on many occasions, life's not fair. In fact, we referred a couple of times to the fact that Jacob crying out, everything is against me. And how often we can all think along those lines, how often we can empathize with that situation, because so often we think life's not fair. And for Joseph, we saw how, you know, he was sold into slavery by his brothers. Then he was falsely accused of an attempted rape by Potiphar and Potiphar's wife. He was forgotten about by the butler and the baker in prison. And then eventually he was raised up to become the chief in the land of Egypt, bar Pharaoh. And we're coming to an end, and there's been a lot of to and fro with his brothers, but tonight we're going to see the revelation to his brothers of who he is. And I'm just going to read, it's 24 verses, but I didn't want to miss any out, because it's a lovely passage of scripture, and one that's so exciting at the end of a story, at the end of a life, or at least part of a life that has had so many disappointments, and for everybody, brothers included. You know, Keith looked last week at the change of heart in Judah's life, and so an awful lot has happened since Joseph had those first dreams, since his dad made him the multicolored coat. So let's read chapter 45. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Make everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. And you can understand that. Here's these ones who have betrayed their brother, and all of a sudden they're discovering that their brother is the guy who they have been coming down bowing before, who's the chief chucker-outer, as it were, in all of Egypt. But then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." And when they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will not be plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded me in Egypt, and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly." Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him. When the news reached Pharaoh's palace that Joseph's brothers had come, Pharaoh and all his officials were pleased. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Tell your brothers, do this, load your animals and return to the land of Canaan, and bring your father and your families back to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you can enjoy the fat of the land. You're also directed to tell them, do this, take some carts from Egypt for your children and your wives, and get your father and come. Never mind about your belongings, because the best of all Egypt will be yours." So the sons of Israel did this. Joseph gave them carts, as Pharaoh had commanded, and he also gave them provisions for their journey. To each of them he gave new clothing, but to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 sets of clothes. And this is what he sent to his father: 10 donkeys loaded with the best things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other provisions for his journey. Then he sent his brothers away, and as they were leaving, he said to them, "Don't quarrel on the way." I love that wee bit that's added on there. You know, Joseph has the insight to realize this could cause a few hassles. Guys, he's saying to them, don't panic about things. But just as the last wee word, don't be quarreling on the way. There would have been a lot of told you so's and I told you this would happen and look what, and he's saying, no, none of that. So exciting. I think everybody loves this story. So, life's not fair. I think we can, say that quite safely. And certainly in the story that we have had, life's not fair. The story of Joseph, on many occasions, he wouldn't be forgiven for crying out, life's not fair. But there's three things, or there's one thing that Joseph says three times that's interesting. Out of the story that we've just read, listen to this. He says in verse 5, "Don't be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." And then in verse 7, "But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant." And then verse 8, "So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God." So we have on three occasions Joseph saying, guys, relax, it's God who sent me here. It's God who sent me here. It's God who sent me here. Now, I was thinking about this, and there's an implication in what Joseph says, and the implication is this, that it's God's fault that life's not fair. That all this unfairness in life is a result of God's plans and what God has planned for us and what God had planned for Joseph. And I was wrestling with this idea because, to me, is equally strongly God portrays himself not just as a fair God. I think a better term to use is a just God. He's a just God in whom there is no injustice. God also portrays him not just as a just God, but he goes even further than that, and he portrays himself as a merciful God. In fact, we know that he doesn't even stop at mercy. He goes even further than being a merciful God. He's a gracious God. And I was wrestling with how I balance those things up. How can a just, merciful, gracious God cause all this suffering in Joseph's life, even though there is a purpose at the end of it? Well, I want you to consider my thoughts, and I have been thinking about this for a while now. And I want us to consider in this story what it was that God did. And I think we'll see the results as fascinating. I'm going to read a few verses back through our story to see where we've got to and what God has done. The first thing that happened, and I've alluded to it already, is in chapter 37 of Genesis, God gave Joseph two dreams. Do you remember he had the sheaves bound down to Joseph's sheaf, And then the sheaves and the, or then the stars and the sun and the moon bowing down to Joseph's star. God gave Joseph two dreams. Chapter 37, I'm just going to read one or two verses here. The guys, the brothers are out and they see Joseph coming and they say, "Here comes that dreamer." They said to each other, "Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we will see what comes of his dreams." See, the fact that Joseph had these two dreams, the fact that God gave him these two dreams, led a whole chain of events to occur. So much so that his brothers are at this stage that they are ready to kill him. Now, they don't kill him the way they plan to kill him. They throw him into the cistern and I think they're just probably going to leave him there. They're arguing a wee bit amongst themselves. And then we have another event. Just going to read a couple of verses. As they sat down to eat their meal with Joseph in the big cistern, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, the Judah that Keith was talking about last week, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." And his brothers agreed, and that's what happened. And we see how, from this one thought that Judah had, as they see the Ishmaelites coming, and Judah all of a sudden he has this thought, and they act on the thought. And that releases another whole chain of events. So I would say that I'm sure God had something to do with that thought that Judah had. So God has given Joseph two dreams, which unlock a whole chain of events to the point that Joseph's about to die. God gives Judah, or I would say God gave Judah, this thought of what to do. And that unleashes another whole chain of events. Joseph goes to Egypt. He gets bought by somebody as a slave. He's a great worker, and he's trustworthy, and he excels as a slave. But he's a good man, and he's an honest man, and he won't sleep with Potiphar's wife, and that lands him in more trouble because she accuses him of stuff he didn't do, and he gets sent to prison. And he's in prison, and then an interesting thing happens in prison. I'm going to fly over to chapter 40 and read a verse over there. The butler and the baker, if you remember, say, "We both had dreams," they answered. We end up with Pharaoh declaring to Joseph So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Joseph has gone from languishing in prison. Through four dreams, God now has him as the prime minister, as the chief checker-outer of all of Egypt. And in fact, from there he goes on to Pharaoh gives him his signet ring and his robes, and he's the prince of Egypt. Mission accomplished. So what did God do? Well, so far he's had given six dreams and a thought. God works in the most wonderful, wonderful ways. Through giving somebody a dream, he gave Jacob two dreams. Or he gave Joseph two dreams. He gave the butler a dream, baker a dream. He gave Pharaoh two dreams. And all of a sudden you have Joseph going from being a shepherd in Canaan to being the prince of Egypt. Unbelievable. It reminds me of Jesus talking about the kingdom of heaven. And I'm going to read two verses from Matthew 13. And it's a wonderful parable. The parable, not the parable of the sower, though there's similarities. The parable of the mustard seed and the yeast. Let me read them. Jesus says, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Two parables to illustrate the same thing. And we saw in our video a little example of it, of the seed being sown. And how much comes from that one little seed? We saw the pumpkin plant germinate, develop, grow, mature, flower, start to produce fruit, and then the fruit getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and ripening and being harvested. All came from that little seed that was planted. And all of a sudden, from the one seed that was planted, that little girl could have opened up her pumpkin and she would have probably found 1,000 new seeds. You could say that girl produced a harvest 1,000 times what was sown. And so it is with God. He takes little things like a little dream and he plants seeds. And from those seeds grow amazing, wonderful things. From those two dreams that Joseph had, God was able to preserve the whole family. In fact, he was able to preserve that whole part of the world through the little seeds that were planted and planted along the way. From Joseph being languishing in prison, through four seeds he planted, one with the baker, one with the butler, two with Pharaoh, he was able to raise Joseph from the gutters to the pinnacle of society. It doesn't stop the fact that Joseph had a grim life. I would argue the grim life was caused by the dark world that was always seeking to hurt, to destroy, to kill. The evil hearts of men that are always seeking selfish things. The brothers that had who had the hatred in their hearts towards their brother and wanted to kill him. The Ishmaelites who wanted to make a fast buck. Potiphar's wife who was disgusted with Jacob or with Joseph because he wouldn't go to bed with her. The evil in men's hearts produced all the suffering in Joseph's life. The dark world in which Joseph lived produced all the hardships and the heartaches. But God, and sometimes it's our own stubborn hearts produce it in our lives too. We don't read of that in Joseph's situation, but sometimes we get ourselves into trouble and bring heartache upon ourselves. But we're reminded that God works, what does he say? He works all things for good for those that love the Lord. All the plots of wickedness that man had against Joseph, all the ideas of destruction, all the ideas of injustice that people had for his life, God was able to use every single one of those to bring about his purposes simply by sowing little seeds in the events. Each episode God uses to further his purposes. I want to just have a last word to us from this recap of Joseph's life. And we're going to have one more week looking at probably Jacob finally coming and being reunited with his lost son Joseph. But I encourage us all to pay attention in our lives. Because it was only because these people were paying attention to their dreams, their visions, their thoughts, paying attention to the unknown voice of God in their lives, that God was able to accomplish so much, especially during the dark days. Because it is through these small, small things that God brings about the most amazing circumstances that you could ever believe. Joseph, languishing in prison, to think that simply three dreams or four dreams and he would be the prime minister. He couldn't have believed that. But he was always conscious. As soon as he heard the butler's dream and the baker's dream, he says, I know he interprets dreams. God interprets dreams. And God gave him the interpretation of those dreams. I would encourage us all to pay attention to the dreams, the thoughts that we have. That's not to say every dream we have has meaning. I've had some crazy dreams and they've had no meaning whatsoever. Who was it had the dream about stealing the Ulster bus? Was that you, Taddy? No. I think it was me that had a dream about you stealing an Ulster bus. No, I have the weirdest dreams. 90% of the time, dreams are just dreams. You've eaten too much cheese before you went to bed or something. But pay attention to them, because I always know the dreams that have significance. You always know there was something different about that dream. The thoughts that you have, our minds are thinking all day long. You can't pay attention to all of them, but you very often a thought will just jump out at you. Pay attention when that happens, because God so often speaks to us or so often leads us through these very small things in our lives. Now, we're going to finish by standing to sing one last song, and then after that I will close with a word of prayer. So let's stand to sing.